gets it. Kevin gets it.
To Silwood, standing start. Lash the ball toward the goal. Oh, that's a moment of inspiration from the skipper.
Charlie comes up brandishing. He doubles back from left to right and kicks one of the goals of the season.
50 from goal. Kept it alive. 48 from goal. Goes with the banana. It'll be the miracle.
Oh, that's a good looking kick off the boat. You're kidding me. You've just done the impossible.
Martin tracks him. Martin's got it. He scored. He shoots. It's the stuff of legend.
Welcome to AFL Nation.
Yes, a big welcome to AFL Nation for Thursday night footy. And what a clash we have ahead as the Sydney Swans take on Essendon at the SCG. It's our pre-game show with thanks to Beaumont Tiles, Australia's best. Choose Beaumont Tiles for 28% off floor tiles and for hard yakka. We head into round four with a prospect of a beauty. Anthony Hudson with you. And alongside me is Dwayne Russell. We were together at the MCG on Monday night, Dwayne-o, and we're back again to watch all the action at the SCG.
In fact, I'm liking being next to you so much. Can we do it again tomorrow night too?
I'll have to just check my local guides.
You're on tomorrow night.
Let's do it again tomorrow night then.
Port Adelaide, Richmond.
Are you a believer in the Sydney Swans?
I am long term. Yeah, I do.
I didn't ask long term.
Right.
Are you a believer?
Well, what are you asking me? Are they going to make the eight?
Or better, yes.
No, I still think they finished ninth or 10th,
okay.
But I do think that they are going to be genuine premiership window 2022 team, yeah.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. I'm still a little undecided. Certainly, I believe, like you, in their long-term futures, no doubt about that. But as to what they can do this year...
Well, give me a ladder position. I've gone ninth or 10th. You're thinking 12th or you're thinking 7th?
I think somewhere between 5th and 15th.
What about you, Nicky Dow? Somewhere between 1st and 18th?
Hello, very good evening to you both, first of all. Who would have thought 3 weeks ago we'd be sitting here on a Thursday night getting excited for the Sydney Swans and the Dons taking on each other, 2nd versus 10th, and the Swans being undefeated as it currently stands. So a lot to dissect before we get into this game tonight. So to your initial question, Anthony, what do I think of the Sydney Swans? Is that how you worded it or was it a bit more generic than that?
Are you a believer in the Sydney Swans?
I am believing what they're currently doing at the moment. I think they are capable of playing finals this year. I think they will make finals. Okay. I think they'll be in the bottom 2 to 3, so anywhere 6, 7, 8. But no, I don't think they're quite ready. It sounds funny off the back of beating the Tigers at the MCG last week, doesn't it?
Yeah.
By a comfortable margin of 45 points. But no, I don't think when the whips are cracking, fatigue is set in, young group, bodies are sore, that they're ultimately going to be able to get the job done, unfortunately, on the last day.
Can you remember in modern times when a team has elevated itself so quickly on the back? I mean, I guess Port Adelaide with their three players.
Brisbane did as well. Brisbane were, I think, second last
went from 5 wins to top 4, didn't they? Yeah. 2 years in a row.
You could see it coming, I reckon, with Brisbane. Maybe not to the extent that it did. And Sydney haven't achieved yet what Brisbane did. But with players that were basically unknown. Yeah.
Well, herein lies the flaw in our midweek. We should be seeing some of the reserves players. We should be seeing some of the under-18s on a Wednesday or a Tuesday night or a Monday. Give us the match of the week of the under-18 comp or let's see some of these guys. So when it comes to draft night, we know what Errol Goulden can do.
Yeah.
You
know, there was 2,000 people on Easter Monday at the Sandringham under-18s versus the Oakley Chargers.
Yeah, I did hear about that.
And it was a beautiful day and it was a public holiday. But so there is interest in it.
Yeah, I think there would be at home. There's such an interest in footy. The amount of calls I got today on why haven't we got Thursday night games coming up? So, you know, they could put games on the Thursday night, the Sandful match of the round.
Yeah, I think the VFL.
I was going to say, VFL are going to slip into that space.
Thursday night footy.
Good. That's what we want to see.
We might see a bit of that.
Okay. And I'd be calling a bit.
We might be.
Okay, even better.
We might be. Who knows?
There's a lot of research for you two to do if you're going to go deep into the list.
Well, the good part is I want to see these kids too. I want to know what we should be looking at, because on draft night we don't really know. I mean, all we really know is what Shifter Sheehan has told us in many respects, and what we see on a highlights package of 3 minutes we're given cut by the AFL most of the time. We don't go to under-18 games.
I think there's a balance though, because just from we don't want to make these kids into we don't want to put too much pressure on these kids.
Oh, well, they're already under pressure, aren't they?
They are, but I think
I do think we have to, anyway, just take that into consideration. Right.
What about Logan McDonald playing in the Waffle? So he plays in the Waffle last year. So we get to see him in a Waffle match of the round. That's the beauty of it, I think, in some respects. If we get a Waffle or a Sandful or a VFL match of the round.
I think there's opportunity. So what we're saying is we would love to see it. I think the average punter in the street would love to see their team and watch these young kids coming past or coming through. I mean, you speak to local lovers of the game or those that support their team, they want the seconds to play still before the seniors. I think there's still something about that, Hutto, that our game's just missing a little bit. And you're just talking about teams that have had huge jumps. What did the D's do from 17? Because it was 2018, it was the prelim year. Did they have a just year in 17? Did they have a massive rise to that? I'm just trying to recall in recent history.
Yeah, recent history. When you go back, I think Tommy Hafey took Collingwood from last into a grand final and they lost it. Okay. From memory, Hutto, you're older than me. You go back a bit further.
Tommy Hafey, 77.
77, took Collingwood from last into a grand final, but they lost it. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, no, so that's
pretty good.
There's precedent going back, but that's, that is a fair way
although
back.
Although that's only 13, 14 spots. Was it 12 spots on the ladder?
Yeah.
So if you do it now, you've moved 17, 18 spots on the ladder, which theoretically is harder.
Hutto, I've just flicked back through my notes, and I've gone back to round two when I did the Swans and the Crows at the SCG, and I was reviewing their round one performance against the Cats. Against the Brisbane Lions. Apologies. And I was trying to work out their list demographic. So what we're trying to say is, or work out is, how has this group become so good so quickly? But this might give you a little bit of an explanation. So in round one, the Swans were the second youngest team in the competition, second youngest, yet their games played was mid-table. So what that says is they're clearly very young, but they've already got a few games under their belt and have some sort of experience for... When we look from the outside, we've got, the three kids that have been the rising star, Logan McDonald, we've just mentioned.
So you've got Wicks, who's 21 years of age and virtually had a season, but he's still young.
But
he's playing some good footy this year.
They've also got a heap of players that have played over 100. Like you've got Cunningham with 133, Papley with 100, Kennedy 260, Reid 150, Buddy now with 300, Rampy 170, Parker 215, Hewitt 100, Hickey 100. Lloyd 150. So while there is some with, very few, there's a sizable number that have got a lot.
And I think the other factor to this is, and you'd probably put Hawthorn, Geelong, and maybe Richmond, but you're definitely putting Sydney in this category, that their development program, their leadership group and their leadership on the football field allows young kids to come through. And the amount of times we look at Geelong, for example, and go, how the hell, where's this young kid come from? Because they're in an environment where they're comfortable. They roll out on game day and they don't have to have 30 disposals. They're not expected to. And they just quickly sneak under the radar and they pop up a couple of years later and you're like, geez, they've got one here, haven't they? And it just consistently happens when you've got the likes of, Kennedy and Parker in particular leading from the front.
All right, we'll speak about the Bombers really quickly, but or really shortly. But just anything else that's grabbed your fancy in terms of what we know about tomorrow night? We look forward to, of course, Basher Hooley coming back. Lockie Jones, he looks like a 25-year-old already. He's going to make his debut for Port Adelaide.
I think the overall round, when you look at every game, there's something that you have to watch that game for. That's the beauty of where we are now. It's round four, but every game's got some real intrigue to it. Even can Melbourne give Geelong a run for their money? That's something we might not have thought about 3 weeks ago. Melbourne could actually, Matt Rendell thinks they're a contender for the flag. So if they all of a sudden get cranking and they get Brown into their team or Wiedemann into their team, then they're going to look a lot better as well. Right now, we've got 14 teams that are making the 8. That's the beauty of where it is. So I think the overall round is the exciting thing for me in a way, that every game you almost have to have a look at, including tomorrow night. I mean, Port have to beat some big gun teams. That's the way it stands. They've beaten all the couple of teams that are low on the ladder. What can you do against Richmond?
Well, it's a fascinating game off the back of their performances, both teams' performances last week. One in the West, getting touched up, and then obviously the Tigers getting robbed by 45 points against the Sydney Swans. So, you'd often look for a response, but when both teams have got high expectations, quality teams, good players, good leaders, but they've both got to bounce back. So I think tomorrow night will be an absolute cracker.
And the fixtures going ahead, we know round 7 and 8 released today. You touched on the absence of Thursday night games, which I think the general public will be a bit surprised at. It's always been an issue for the AFL around, getting teams up for the next week and particularly back to the longer games, but still a bit surprised there isn't more.
Have you been doing any callback or have you had any feedback about the rolling fixture and whether the people are loving it and that you get the big games in the big moments, or are they finding more frustration that they can't plan ahead?
No, ticketing's a frustration, but I don't think the
full stop.
Yeah,
isn't
full
it?
Stop. But I don't think that the public are generally rebelling against the rolling fixture. And from what we heard today from the AFL, it's here to stay. Mm. We'll be getting a rolling fixture post-COVID. This will be happening going forward because they can keep putting the big blockbusters on the Thursdays and the Friday nights.
Initial thoughts, Hutto, do you like that?
Oh, I mean, I like it, but I am always interested in what the general punter thinks because we see it differently. We want to call the big games on a Friday night, so I like it. I mean, the AFL have made some choices, haven't they, about what they took from COVID so far and what they did. Mm. They went back to the longer games. They haven't gone for Thursday night and the footy frenzy, but they have gone for the floating fixture.
Yeah. And let's balance it. So in previous years, we might have had a number of calls in talkback that complain about, oh, why is this team locked into Friday nights? They're going to be terrible.
100%.
So if we get, say, 100 calls in the next month, from people saying that they don't like the floating fixture, then it's probably going to balance it out for the 100 we got last year across the month saying, why in the hell's got Carlton got so many of these Friday night games?
Yeah, but there's probably also a happy medium somewhere in there that it's a 4 to 6 week schedule. For those that want to travel interstate, that they know that that game is interstate, for example.
You know that the team is playing interstate on that weekend. Yep. So it's then a matter of building in some flexibility into your flight.
So in some ways, tonight's game, being a Thursday night and a draw card for those particularly watching at home, school holidays, they wouldn't have thought they were going to get a really good game that the Swans are in second place and the Dons have just rolled the Saints by 75 points. So in a lot of ways, this is better than what they were probably expecting a month ago.
And the Swans have been rewarded with a couple of big fixtures coming up in those rounds 7 and 8.
Which I like. I think there's something about that as well.
I think what we're going to get post-COVID is something like a 5-week block or 6-week blocks. I don't think we'll get 2-week blocks like we've got now, but post-COVID they'll release it in, you know, five or six.
I think that's a beautiful number.
So the news of the day was for rolled family-made Vietnamese served fast and fresh. We do want to mention too, we welcome Furphy back to AFL Nation again for the season ahead. It's the Furphy Unbelievable Moments. Furphy Refreshing Ale, unbelievable. Last week we saw plenty of Furphy Unbelievable Moments. The Zach Bailey kick after the siren, Josh Bruce's 10 goals, Dwayne Russell's 6 Cokes, 4 Coffees and 3 energy drinks.
Don't rub it in. You know, today I thought I'd go for a Fanta today. And then
Fanta?
You
a toddler?
Well, I thought
I'd drink Fanta.
And I ripped the top off it and it's 40% sugar free. And it's just...
It's not going to help.
Oh,
so
no.
You put 5 litres of orange.
It's like a diet cordial.
Unleaded.
What's the point?
I'm a machine. This is unleaded. I can't put unleaded in.
You're a diesel man.
Oh dear. But don't forget your new i30 awaits. The remarkable i30 comes with forward collision avoidance assist, which uses radar to detect objects. That would help you, Dell. Plus a 5-year unlimited kilometre warranty. I mean, you had your own forward collision avoidance assist when you played footy, but you can test drive the Hyundai i30 at your local dealer today.
Ever seen the Palisade?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a beautiful looking thing.
Just. A very close mate of mine who's single, who's about 5'8", they just bought one.
Mm. Just for himself.
Just with a stepladder. I don't know how he's getting up there. It's an 8-seater. What's he going to do in a car that's
sleep
got
in the
seven
back.
Interesting.
What are we thinking broadly about the Bombers on what they did last week? Was it a one-off against the Saints or was there a lot that they could take out of it in terms of their expectations?
Do you know what I like about it,
David Zaharakis to be the sub, incidentally.
Do you know what I like about it? Unfortunately for the Bombers, that's the new standard. And maybe the goals were above and beyond. Maybe the way that they actually played was above and beyond because the Saints were so poor defensively. But they brought enthusiasm. They brought a game style. And they brought structure forward of the football and behind the football that can hold up. So for those Bombers that have been saying, oh, we're actually a pretty good team, you are. But there's your new standard about what you can do. Jake Stringer, you know, we'll work out what Cale Hooker's going to do in the long run. But, you know, for a fill-in forward as it currently stands, it looks pretty good, doesn't it? And Merritt was brilliant. Parrish played probably his best game of his career. I was very, very pleased by the way they went about it when you sprinkle in a couple of these guys that are playing their first few games of their career.
Yeah, so what do you have your expectations of what Sydney of what Essendon can produce this year changed on the back of last week?
No, unfortunately, I still had them outside the top eight. I think that they need to grow and they need to build, and it may not be necessarily on wins or losses because it's a pretty tangible way to measure things and not always get the right outcome in regards to have you improved or not. but they've also got some injuries and some significant ones. So you take that into calculation, Hutto. I still think they finish somewhere around 12-ish, you know, 12 okay. to 14, I think would be about their season.
You mentioned Jake Stringer. I mean, that was a bonus. And I saw some of the numbers during the week. He's one of the most effective centre square players in the competition. So right from the first goal last week, he went in there, was, you know, moved forward, the ball went out to the wing, he got it at centre half four, put the ball through, kicked four, of course, in the first half, and was dynamic. So, I mean, he does change the feel of the forward line and that adds another dimension which they need. And young Harry Jones was superb as well.
He was.
In terms of a glimpse into the future.
Absolutely. And the first one was Stringer, and I spoke to him post-game, Hutto, and I wasn't trying to be a smart aleck. And true story, that when I was sitting on the boundary line, that two of his teammates walked past me in that first half when he was on fire and looked at me as if to say, verbally did say, he's moving real well, like he's back sort of. And I was like, oh, okay. So I sort of just wrote a note, like, he's moving really well, I'll keep an eye on him. By the end of the first half, he's kicked four. So I asked him post-game, I said, you look like you're moving really well. You must be thrilled with how you've presented. Lost 7 kilograms.
Yeah.
7 kilograms is a lot for an elite athlete to lean down. But he looked more agile. He was up in the air marking or trying to mark. He was on the ground.
He came back after his syndesmosis injury last year and didn't look great. Didn't look fit as in recovered. I mean, it was hard. Didn't look fit as in didn't appear to have recovered from the injury. Clearly wasn't in the same condition he's in now. I saw him over the summer.
Yep.
I reckon it was either late December or early January. Down at an event, and he looked in unbelievable shape. So I was really disappointed when he hurt his Achilles.
I pose this, though. How do you not look in incredible shape when your whole job and your whole purpose is to get your body right?
So in a way, he's been congratulated but condemned for the fact that he's lost 7 kilos.
Yeah,
as
it makes
well,
you pose the question, what were you doing? Whether it was a strategy that he had to get bigger, but whatever it was, the way he looked last weekend and will again tonight, he looks great. And I mean that from a football mechanics purpose. He looks perfect, strong, powerful, but can still do all the agility stuff and get up and down the ground. I think he looks great.
Both teams completing their warm-up, by the way, for Ream Install the Ream, Australia's favourite in hot water.
So did John Worsfold, was he happier with Stringer playing the way that he was, or was the problem that he had with syndesmosis holding him back from training to the point that he could get those kilos off? Or has Ben Rutten specifically asked him to drop kilos?
I'd love to think that it's a conversation between multiple people about what the game's demanding, how Jake's feeling, what the coaches want from him and the role that they need him to play. I don't know the honest answer. But what I will say as well, and I've experienced this once and I won't name the person, in my 15-odd years, I only know one person that put on weight while they were in rehab. Rehab is a bad place to be. You're watching your teammates go out onto the training track 5 times a week. You're not a part of it. You watch them go out and do what they do on the footy field. You're not a part of it. All you do is get flogged on stationary bikes, rowers, cardio work, circuits. I don't know how you would ever not come back in brilliant shape.
Okay.
I just don't get it, Hutto.
Toss of the coin, and Dustin Heppel returns to the Bombers lineup, and he's going to kick to a Bradman stand in, the left of left of the SCG as we watch the game and you watch the game on TV normally. Unmissable moments for DrinkWise. Choose to DrinkWise. You won't miss a moment if you DrinkWise. Well, Buddy's back. Is he going to give us an unmissable moment, or will it be Logan McDonald up forward? Or another one of the kids, Davey Warner, in the number one. Is he going to produce something like he did last week, spinning through a tackle?
I wouldn't mind knowing whether the Sydney Swans, if they keep playing this game style at the SCG, are going to put some massive numbers on the board like we haven't seen before, because that's the possibility we've got now.
I've just received a text message from Robin Nahas, one of the great men of AFL football of days gone by. He said, actually, you forgot someone else. He's actually messaged me saying there was 2 people at North Melbourne that put on weight during rehab programs. He's a good man.
23 degrees in Sydney right now. Beautiful, clear night after a day, a 27-degree top day. Our weather report for Fujitsu, Australia's favourite air. You can experience year-round comfort with Fujitsu, Australia's favourite air. Both sides making their way to the middle. Their Ream warm-up has been completed. Ream, steady, hot and strong. Final word ahead of the match with our expert Nick Del Santo for car sales. Unique insights and exclusive perks with car sales for owners. And that will be the completion of our pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles, Australia's best.